about your body, what you will wear? Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
So many key verses this morning that touch base on our theme this morning as we continue our series, Teach Us to Pray. But those very words that just in Matthew this morning remind us so well, remind us so much on how God comes alongside us and provides for us. And as we begin this morning, God provides us his word. So let's come and give thanks for our time this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we come, and as we heard your word this morning, we are grateful for the provision that you give to us. We're grateful, Father, for your word, Lord, the bread of life that you give to us to guide us, to give us wisdom, to give us strength. Lord, the daily needs that we have, God, we come here this morning. May your truth, Father, give us a reminder again of who you are, that we come to understand who you are, and be grateful, Father, for who you are. And Lord, knowing how much you love us and how much you provide for us each and every day, may your words be imprinted upon our minds and our hearts. We praise you and give thanks to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you, I'd say, let's pause for an hour, have you run downstairs and rewrite my whole sermon. Because I've been in prayer 3 times this morning, and every single time, God says, oh yeah, don't forget about this. Oh yeah, you got to talk about this. And I'm like, seriously? Like, so I figure maybe I'll just kind of like talk about those things, and maybe like we'll be like enjoying our time together like for like an extra hour. How about, you know, I think this, like, I don't think so. But it's neat to see how we've journeyed through the Lord's Prayer this morning, and again, being reminded that the Lord's Prayer, as we pray, and he teaches us to pray, that again, you're always reminded of who God is and the role that he plays in our world, the role that he plays in our lives, that he is our King. And the first few verses are all about him. And then now we come to our petitions, that we come to ask, to come, speak to him about our needs. And it's interesting that he starts off with bread. Every time I was reading through a commentary, every time I was reading through the scripture verse or finding another verse, and it always saying bread, I was getting hungry. And I it felt like going and grabbing a loaf from the superstore. You know, one of those big French loaves, and, you know, slathered with butter, whatever, and all of a sudden it dawned on me. When I was a young kid, it was awesome, because the weekends would come, and on Saturday we could play all day and have a blast. But on some of those Saturdays, we were put to work. It was bread making day, and my mom would have like large bins, large roasters, because we had a family of six, and we always had aunts and uncles over our house. And you know, my mom, I think, had a roaster the size of this pulpit, and that turkey would fit in that thing. It was just crazy. And that thing would be overflowing with dough, and she'd be making bread, and she'd be making buns, and she'd be making cinnamon rolls. What a hallelujah of a Saturday. It was awesome. I love that. And of course, when it came to the kneading time, whatever, us kids would have to get in there, and we'd knead it for our mom, you know, and pound it down again. And we couldn't wait for the first loaf, or the first buns to come out of the oven. It was just magnificent when you put some butter on it, or some jam, and you just, you know, the one tray of making 12 buns, I think the 12 buns would be eaten in 2 minutes once the first ones came out. Those were glorious Saturdays. Yes. So like, okay, Stephen, hurry up and preach so we can go home and have some bread. But that bread wouldn't last long. But as we come this morning and we talk about today, and we look at our petitions in Luke 11, verse 3, and switching our focus from the sovereignty of God, Lord, meeting our daily needs, give us this day our daily bread. Actually, I think I missed changing that. Yes, there it says, give us each day our daily bread, but I changed it to another version where I'm using the word this day, so you can make that change in your bulletin. And here we are confessing in this statement our dependence to meet our needs. I came across a story to military and war stories just from my time being in the military as I was looking up stories. A story came across of when the Korean War and South Korea, a huge number of children that were orphans, and then also in Bosnia, battle there, and again, children being homeless. And what ended up happening was there was an agency that was trying to provide housing, trying to feed these children, and one of the problems that they ended up actually encountering is that these children were having enormous nightmares and not sleeping at night. And right off the bat, when I was reading this, I'm thinking, oh yeah, like with all the gunfire and bombs and explosions and all of those, like of course they're going to have nightmares. But that wasn't it. What they came to realize was that their nightmares, their difficulty sleeping, was that the kids were worried about if they're actually going to be eating the next day. Where was their food going to be coming from? And that created an enormous amount of anxiety in these kids' lives. Well, one of the volunteers came up with an idea. She said, how about we give them a piece of bread before they go to bed? So they tried it. Not to eat, but to have beside their bed. Some of them actually ended up holding on to it, like a blanket or a stuffed animal. And it was unbelievable, the transformation in their being able to sleep through the night, because symbolic. You hear it, the bread of life. It was a staple even for the Israelites, because God providing manna for them. God gives daily bread to all men, whether good or bad. It's not just believers who get fed. People throughout the world get food every single day. And when we acknowledge that God is our sovereign Lord and our provider, and acknowledging Him as our Jehovah Jireh, that's significant. We have three basic needs as I've journeyed even through regular life, is that we have physical needs. We also have emotional needs. And we have spiritual needs. And in all of these, God provides for each and every one. Especially the spiritual needs. That's where Jesus Christ comes in. We're going to take a little bit closer look at this petition, word by word. I found it easiest to explain it that way. And so to start off with, the first word is give. Here, the point of this word, and being most and being very important, is that dino, and this means to grant or to administer one's needs. It indicates our complete dependence on God. There was a quote by John Hamby that says, God made us with needs so that we would have to look to Him to supply them. When we pray and when we ask for God's help, we're truly putting our trust, our lives, in God, and that He would actually supply for those needs. In fact, we are asking for the freedom from worry. And I want to again reference back to Matthew 6, the scripture verse that George read this morning. How often do we start looking at the week before us and it's saying, how am I going to get through this week? How am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to pay this bill? How am I going to pay the child care for my kids? Well, with those statements, what we end up doing actually is that we are starting to then work under our own power. How are we going to do this week? And not looking to God. That word worrying that comes out of Matthew 6 is an attempt to control the uncontrollable. This is where Satan comes in. This is a place, a position that he wants to put you in. Because what he's looking for is that when you worry, you fail to realize again who God is. You fail to understand what is possible for God. In James 4:2, it says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Doesn't that sound like our world? I recall, again, it was the one time that all my friends had gone to Max, the corner store, and they all had money in their pocket, and they got a chocolate bar. Well, I wanted a chocolate bar, but I didn't have any money in my pocket. So what did I do? Right? I stole, because that's what I wanted. Right? That's what I felt that I needed. That's what I desired. Well, of course, I got caught. don't know what to do, he's saying, come to me for wisdom. Let me provide for you what you need. This verse, again, is not only talking about the physical needs. As I talk about and I speak about the bread and the God providing for our physical needs and the clothing, knowing that that's the same realm, the same understanding on how God would provide for our emotional needs, how God provides for our spiritual needs. When you feel like everything is caving in on us, He's our source of encouragement. He's our support of love. And we sang this morning, He's our support, He's our provider for our care and comfort. I connect this point with an author, and he shares this. When we run out of energy, He's our source for strength. When things look hopeless, He's our source for hope. When we are stressed, He's our source for peace. When we're irritated, God is our source for patience. When we're overwhelmed with guilt, God is our source of salvation. God gives us His wonderful promise in Philippians 4:19-20. Now, as I go through word for word in this verse, I'm going to again just reference back to this verse because it connects all the way along. That's Philippians 4, verses 19 and 20. I think that's on the next page right here. Yes. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. Now again, as we come to pray this, we have to understand that these things are not provided, right? On some whim or by some entity. It's provided through Christ, in Christ. It says, to our God and our Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. That in the midst of Him providing for our needs, He is honored and He is glorified. So to pray, give, is a demanding or commanding prayer. We always tell us, when our kids say, you know, gimme, gimme, you say, no, I would like, please. But this word has significance. It is the acknowledgement, it's the acknowledgement that there is a sovereign God. That's why we start off the beginning of the prayer. Our Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, that He is our King and sovereign Lord. And then we come to the next word, us. Here it's important for us to remember that it's not a selfish prayer. Jesus did not command us to pray, give me this day. He uses the word us. Jesus is telling us that we should pray about the needs for others, not just our own. And sometimes we slip into that pattern that when we go and find a quiet place, and in a sense the structure of our prayer is in the structure of the Lord's Prayer, we honor God, and then what do we begin with? God, I'm in need. Or God, I need this. God wants us to stop for a moment and realize that it's not only us. Right? There are others. There's a community amongst us. They always say that there's no I in team. Well, I like to reference that as a church as well, right? There's no I in church. You can't say the Lord's Prayer and even once say mine. incredible where on different parts and at different times and, you know, whatever how, you know, God decided to structure his word, but at these different moments as he's teaching his disciples and trying to teach his children, he comes right at the right moment and he says this. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." This parable, you remember that they were surprised by the king. They were surprised by Jesus, that they were so busy doing that their attention was elsewhere. They didn't consider why they were doing it. And for some, it's just a natural outcome. So when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread, you're not just praying for your family. But again, you're praying for your neighbor. You're praying for your co-worker. The us keeps us from being self-centered. Jesus calls on us to ask our Father to pray for personal needs for one another. Jesus fed the 5,000. He sees that people are fed. Our God loves to feed us. He loves to provide for us. He takes care of those physical needs. He takes care of those emotional needs. He takes care of those spiritual needs. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer works. That's why Jesus is asking us to come and pray. "Give us this day our daily bread." Then we come to this day. He reminds us here to not get ahead of ourselves. He reminds us that our Christian walk is a daily walk. And we need a daily renewal of his strength and his patience. And again, referencing back to the scripture verse that George read this morning. Sometimes we even are drawn back to the past. Oh, if it could only be like this again. And then what they end up doing is when it's not like the past, we're sad and disappointed. And then we end up being concerned about the future. Sometimes what we end up doing is that we end up worrying too much about the future and actually forgetting about the very day that we are living in. The portion of the prayer is not a command but a promise that the need that we have this day will be met. I was talking about the different times that I've been praying, and what I was reminded about was that back in the olden days, they had to work and toil for the very food that day. They had to go and milk the cow to have fresh milk for that day. They had to bake the bread that day to eat bread. They had to go and do some fishing or go and get the eggs for that day. Now, I have eggs in my fridge for the whole week. I have milk changed their lives. And at the end of her show, whatever, she's always saying, you know, be kind. Be kind. And I found this one story she was in the audience and came down, and for 8 years, whatever, they kind of journeyed with her. They first started off, they gave her a car. And then brought her back again to see how she was doing and provided her with a whole bunch of Christmas gifts. Then brought her back again and saying that she was going to build a house. And they ended up, this one company built her a house. Then brought her back, and she ended up having cancer and providing some money for her to help pay for her bills. So along the way, what was happening, and again, she was a believer. And along the way, truly, this was the needs that this woman had. God was providing, again, through Ellen, providing for her those needs that she had. We can easily fall into the illusion that we are our providers, that we are the ones that have to look out for ourselves, and we actually don't ask for help. What ends up happening is that farmers would store up their crops because they did not know when their crops might be destroyed or when a drought may happen. What's ending up is that they were relying on their own power. Pray daily. Jesus tells us to come repeatedly to God in prayer. Our daily bread. Jesus didn't say, give us this day our monthly bread or our weekly bread. Instead, he says, each day, this day. So we're to come to God each and every day and ask him for our daily bread. We forget about it because we did shopping on Saturday for the week. Specifically maybe for our physical needs because our cupboards are full and our fridges are full. But being reminded to be thankful for what God has given you that day. Then we come to our daily bread. This is an invitation to pray. It's not an open invitation to pray for anything that we need, but to ask Jesus to come and provide our necessity, to come and provide what we are in need of. Bread was a staple of Jesus, the main food, the main source of a household. And it was affordable for all families. This part of prayer, this petition, asking God, having the confidence that he will provide for our daily needs, our physical, emotional, and spiritual. I want you to consider this. God's provision for people of Israel when they were freed from bondage. And what did God do? He sustained them for 40 years with manna. But I want you to look at this scripture verse that's on there. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. Each day, God provided them manna, meat, and water. They were only supposed to gather what was required, what was needed. Some even tried to gather more because they were concerned, going, is this going to happen again tomorrow? But of course, what they found out was that stuff went bad. Only gather what was needed, and only gather for what was needed for the Sabbath. Throughout the Old Testament, you will find scripture verse after scripture verse of God providing for their needs: water, food, clothing, spiritual wisdom, comfort, encouragement. There was a message on our answering machine this past week, and it said, "Can you please pray for me? I need a full-time job with good, honest people. I'm in a miserable environment where I am employed. My boss treats me very poorly and unfair. They're making it very hard on me. I feel I need a fresh start with new people. It was because it has become so unbearable that I dread going to work each day. Please pray that the Lord will open a door and direct me to a good job with benefits. At this time, they do not give me any. Please also pray that the Lord will heal my depression and set me free. Our daily bread isn't a prayer just for boring old bread. Our daily bread is there to be praying for those physical needs of life, those spiritual needs of life, those emotional needs of life. Again, referencing back to Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and his glory in Christ Jesus. Every need, but not every want. We're praying for our daily bread, not for our daily cake. Proverbs shares in chapter 30, verses 8 and 9, it says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God. When we pray this prayer, we realize two things. God provides what we really need, and God provides it when we need it the most. I learned a few things as I'd been walking through and just listening to God on how we receive God's provision. First, obedience. We have to be obedient in our walk with Christ. In John 15:7-8, it shares, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. And then, you must also be thinking about others. Hebrews 10:24-25. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. How we live our lives, how we express our lives in our relationships others is so important. This can be a huge example of seeing how God provides for you. And then, faith. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And then in Matthew 21:22, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. We must believe that God will provide for us. We may not know how. We may not know when. We don't need to know. All we need to know is that He will. We had to go and get tires recently for one of our vehicles. And again, the transition lease is going back and work. All of us know that the cost of tires is probably around $500. Well, I had a friend of mine who's has his own shop. He's a Christian and stuff like that. I always take my car to them, and they found some tires for my car and go send them in. And I got a call out of the blue from someone I didn't even know. They said, "Hey, Stephen. I'm a friend of so-and-so's, whatever." And he says, "I heard you were looking for tires." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I'm getting them. My friend's shop is going to provide me with some tires and stuff like that." He says, "Well, actually," he says, "I work at Econo Tire and stuff." And he says, "We have a deal on them, whatever." He says, "How would you come down, give us what you need, and we'll see what we can do. You know, I'll give you a good deal off some tires." And so, okay. So I go down to Econo Tire, and I said, "Yeah, I'm supposed to meet with so and so. Is he here?" "Oh, no, he's not off today." And there he says, "Can I ask, who you are? I'll leave a message for him." And so I'm Stephen Carlton. "Oh, you're Stephen Carlton? Oh, here. Just 1 second. Whatever. So disappears for about 10 minutes. Whatever. All of a sudden, two guys come out. Whatever, rolling out tires and stuff. And he says, "Yeah." He says, "These are the tires you need." Whatever. In my head, I'm like, "Well, okay, how much?" I didn't really, talk with them again about tires and stuff. And he said, "Oh, okay." I, began to, grab my wallet and whatever. He's like, "What are you doing?" "I'm gonna pay for the tires." Whatever. He says, "Oh, no, no." He says, "No." He says, "It's already taken care of." He says, "Here you go." What? Right? So right there. But something I was reminded of as I was writing this, and I came across this scripture verse, I was reminded that I didn't pray that God would provide me with tires. I sat down with Lisa, looked at our books, and everyone, okay, how are we going to afford this? Right? I didn't give that to God in prayer. So I was praising God afterwards, but it was a huge reminder of going, "Stephen, don't forget about me to include me." So in concluding, when we pray this prayer in seriousness, wonderful things will happen. I've been transformed as I've been journeying through the Lord's Prayer. It changes our hearts. It changes our thoughts and our understanding of who God is. Right? From worry or fear comes confidence. We learn that God will meet our needs. The grumbling attitude comes to gratitude. We will stop focusing on our need and be grateful for what God has provided for us. And be grateful that He's meeting our needs. And then, from trouble to trusting, that we will live with the realization that God will meet our needs daily, each and every day. time for breakfast, and there was no food. A small girl whose father was a close friend of Mueller was visiting in the home. Mueller took her